Let's take our Bibles. We're going to turn to Philippians 2, verse 8. I'm actually going to read now. Verse 8 is our key verse. I'll read from verses 6 to 11. This is talking about Jesus, of course. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let's pray. Father, what a rich reminder that is of who Jesus is. The Son, the eternal Son of God. No beginning, no end. Always has existed, is a part of you. The three persons of who you are. And at your request, he humbled himself, left his throne in glory, and came to earth to become a part of his own creation. That which he created, he became a part of. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to do this in order to rescue us and to take the punishment for our sin so that we might be reconciled with your Father. And your encouragement to us, as you modeled it to us, is to walk in the ways of your Father. And Lord, I pray that as we look at what it means to have obedience in our lives, that you would encourage us to look to your Son, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, and to watch how he did it as we read through the Gospels month after month, and to follow him. Lord, we thank you that you give us the ability to do that through our faith in you and through the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. And as we look today now at your word, I pray that you would open our eyes to see what you want to teach us today. And I pray it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. I'm going to talk today about the joy of obedience. Perfect obedience. Now think about that. Perfect obedience to a person, maybe an idea, maybe a national movement. Perfect obedience. Most of us sit in stunned disbelief as we watch the parade of suicide bombers on the television news. People who are willing to blow themselves up for a false god or an idea or a radical ideal. Perfect obedience. And we think that they're nuts because we don't understand this kind of allegiance. We're so used to being in charge of our own lives that we don't understand radical obedience. Mullahs, Islamic priests, tell Muslim believers, not all of them do, but some do, the radical ones do, tell them to kill themselves for Allah. And some of them do. And yet most Christians don't even remember what their pastor preached on 3 days from now. Because we don't have the kind of commitment to Christ that might require us to radically obey him and take up our crosses and follow him. So many of us are still struggling to stay obedient to the simple things that the Bible teaches us, let alone the radical things. But Jesus, the Son of God, being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And that is the key to obedience. Taking ourselves so out of the picture that if God were to ask anything from us, we would be willing to give up our lives if that's what He required of us. There are Muslims who are doing that increasingly for their God. Are we willing to do what Jesus asks us to do? Christ might not have been blowing up his enemies in the state of Palestine, but he was certainly obedient enough to allow himself to be murdered for a righteous cause. Obedience, he modeled it. Blind, humble obedience to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he challenges us, in fact, he doesn't just challenge us, he invites us to come right along beside him and follow him. For if any man decides he wants to follow me, he said, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and come after me. For if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. That's pretty radical. So how do we get there? How do we born-again Christians out obedience, the kind of passionate loyalty that we see in radical Muslims today who are willing to give up everything for a God that doesn't even exist? Jesus, the true living God, said, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." Now, when I read that, it sounds to me like he's saying that radical obedience to him comes from a heart that is in love with him and nothing else. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, now you're presenting your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. Why? Because I love God. This is the obedience that God desires. He says, "Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil's about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct." Obedience to God. So what do we need to do? Well, here's the first thing. To be obedient to Jesus and to have a lot of joy in doing it, we need to start with confession of sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, it's important for us as Christians to identify sin in our lives daily. There's a habit that we sometimes have of saying, "I confessed my sins to the Lord at the beginning of my walk, and I don't need to really go to that anymore." God wants us to examine ourselves daily. Not because He's condemning us for those sins, but because He wants us to identify the things that have still got a grip on us so that we can bring them to Him and say, "Lord, help me with this so that I can be obedient to You." If I'm not identifying sin in my life, it's going to be very hard for me to be obedient to God. And it's obedience, Jesus makes very clear, that pleases God. Now here's what Jeremiah had to say. God said to Jeremiah, "Therefore go and give this message to Israel. This is what the Lord says. O Israel, my faithless people, come home to me again, for I am merciful. I will not be angry with you forever. Only acknowledge your guilt. Admit that you rebelled against the Lord your God and committed adultery against him by worshiping idols under every green tree. Confess that you refused to listen to my voice, for I, the Lord, have spoken." Now, God is not looking for a bunch of vague generalities when we do this. God wants us to identify the truth. He wants us to pinpoint the lies and the lust and the manipulation and the things that we struggle with in our lives. He says, if we claim that we have no sin and we're not addressing that on a daily or a weekly basis, we're fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sin to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And so we need to find them. We need to uncover them. We need to expose them. We need to examine them. And then we need to repent of them. Therefore, confess your sin to one another even. And pray for each other so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. God wants the truth. He wants us to identify the truth. And not just that, he says there's another mechanism here that many of us spend time with the Lord identifying the problems we're struggling with, but we're doing it just with God, and it's rather anonymous, isn't it? That's an easy out. God says, confess your sins to each other, and there will be healing. Find somebody to be an accountability partner and begin to get honest with each other and ask each other to pray for strength. God wants us to identify the truth of what's going on inside. And he wants self-sacrifice. There can be no obedience to him without a growing commitment to self-sacrifice. Self is at the root, at the heart of all sin. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's pretty radical. You know, when we overindulge ourselves in really simple things, like food or sex or movies or video games or any of those things, and we're constantly just overindulging in that, we're giving ground to the enemy. And we're losing sight of our mission, which is obedience to Jesus and the cause of evangelism, worldwide salvation. When we get the habit of just allowing ourselves to be indulgent in many, many things, we begin to lose our heart for God. The passions of our flesh start to take over again. God wants our whole heart, not just a little bit of it. He wants full allegiance. God wants pick up your sword and fall on it allegiance. Do whatever I ask of you, allegiance. Come and follow me, allegiance. Deny yourself and follow me. How many of you heard of Andrew Murray? Handful of you. He was a South African pastor back in the 1800s, early 1900s. Great writer. Here's what he says. There's no growing out of disobedience into obedience. A turning back, a turning away, a decision, a crisis is needed. And that comes only by a definite insight into what has been wrong and the confession of the same with remorse and repentance. Then alone will the soul seek for divine and mighty cleansing from all its filthiness, which prepares for the consciousness of the gift of a new heart and God's Spirit in it, causing us to walk in His statutes. If you would hope to lead different lives, to possess a Christ-like obedience unto death, begin by seeking God for the Holy Spirit of conviction to show you your disobedience and to lead you in humble confession to the cleansing that God has provided. Rest not until you have received it. Great advice. So to live for Christ, first and foremost, we need to confess our sin. We need to get honest. with ourselves and with God. Secondly, we need to understand the work of sin. You see, obedience to Jesus only has to do, I want you to understand this clearly. Obedience to Jesus only has to do with voluntary sin. The Bible talks about voluntary and involuntary sin. Obedience is about voluntary sin. Things that I am choosing to do that are wrong. It doesn't have anything to do with those accidental sins that slip out of us on any given day. Let me show you what I mean. Moses talks about it in Leviticus 4. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "Tell the Israelites this, a person might sin without meaning to do it, and will do something that the Lord commanded should not be done." He's talking about those accidental, involuntary sins that always seem to surprise us at the end of the day, or maybe even when it's happening. Man, Lord, I'm such a sinner. I just sometimes do what I didn't mean to do, and I wasn't even thinking about it. I didn't choose. It was just an accidental sin that happened in my life. And Paul talks about that in Romans, of course. He says, if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. I wish we could understand this principle better. If I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. It's the accidental results of the imprint of sin on our hearts. And that's what the Bible calls involuntary sin. Sin that just happens by accident because that nature is still there. We receive a new nature in Jesus Christ. It does not eradicate our old sinful nature, but it does begin to overcome it. And you and I both know that day after day after day, there are involuntary sins that we do that we accidentally did. And the problem I think that many of us have is that we beat ourselves up for that. And God is saying, please don't do that. I understand that you didn't choose to do it. It happened by accident. And when that happens, we simply need to thank God for the blood and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ over those sins. Voluntary sin, true disobedience to God, is when we consciously, voluntarily choose to do what is wrong, even though we know the right thing to do, and even though God has even given us the power to say no to that sin and to practice obedience. Remember, James said, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. So here's what we need to know. Not every sin that we commit is a conscious act of disobedience. And we do. We beat ourselves up over those things that we accidentally do. Can I say something? Get over it. It's going to happen. And Paul says, it's not even me sinning when that happens. It is sin within me sinning. Obedience, true obedience to Christ, is very achievable, and it's what pleases the Lord. And not only that, Jesus says, I will help you to be obedient to the things which God identifies in your life and asks you to do. I will give you the strength to do that. Yes, you will accidentally sin. It's covered by my blood. Those things which you are struggling and still choosing to do, I want to help you with. I'll give you strength with. And here's some of his promises right there. I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. And if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. That's what we're being invited into. For this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. And from my favorite psalm of all, I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is now within my heart. When we know the things God is asking of us this week and then we do it, that is obedience to God out of love. So it's time for us, I think, to recommit to this. Recommit ourselves to a life of achievable obedience. It's not a life of perfection. We need to understand that. God is not saying, I want you to perfectly obey me. He understands that we can't. He sets the standard, be holy as I am holy. But perfect obedience is saying, I will do what God asks me to do, what I know He wants me to do, what comes to me consciously in my mind that He's asking me to do, I will now do it. That's obedience. And it can bring a lot of joy. And it comes in the power and the strength of Christ who dwells within us. For you have received the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what's true, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what He teaches is true, it's not a lie. So just as He's taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. The power of obedience. Am I willing to follow what I know about Jesus? And am I connecting with Him so that He can give me the power to do it? So that I can be pleasing to God. I think Watchman Nee says it best. I love his writings. Chinese pastor from the 20th century. Spent 20 years in jail in hard labor because he dared to preach the gospel in communist China. And died there. And he said this: the law requires much, but offers no help in the carrying out of any of its requirements. The Lord Jesus requires just as much, yes, even more. But what He requires from us, He also Himself carries out in us. The law makes demands and leaves us helpless to fulfill them. Christ makes demands, but He Himself fulfills in us the very demands that He makes. I love that. It is God and His presence in my life that helps me to obey Him. Father in heaven, I thank You that we can achieve obedience to You in our lives. You've made it clear that this is what pleases You, that through faith we would be obedient to the things that You are calling us to, the things You're asking us to do, the things You have identified that we must overcome. And Lord, we pray that You would give us an increasing loyalty and an increasing desire and an increasing love in our hearts to be obedient to those things which You have asked of us to do. And I, for one, look at some of these radical Muslims and go, wow, I wish I could be like that. I mean, what they're doing is wicked and evil. But they are obeying what they believe they're being told to do by the Quran. Father, we, Lord, would be obedient to You in the same way, and that we would shine in this world much more than they do. That we would be apostles and disciples of grace and mercy to this world and love. So that the profile of Jesus Christ would raise higher and higher and higher in this world. And the profile of this false God would just continue to descend, Lord. As we, in obedient faith, rise up before man, people in our communities, people in our nation, and instead of some of the divisiveness that people see in us or the worldliness that they see in us, they would see integrity as we are constantly obedient to the things that You have called us to do and to be. People of splendor and glory. People who reflect You in Your heart. A God of love
and mercy and forgiveness. A God who embraces sinners instead of executing them. Lord, help us to be those kinds of followers in our little corner of the world. So when we go to work and we go to school, people will see your glory in us and give you praise. Lord, we want this world to see the real God. Help us display that. I pray it in Jesus' name and for His glory.